Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes, Life Coaching with Deidre. I'm Deidre, your host, coming to you live on Inner Light Radio, broadcasting straight out of Richmond, California. Now, I know you could have listened to any of the thousands of podcasts on the radio, internet, or even satellite. So let me start off first for thanking you for picking mine. I am an organic therapist, personal mental trainer, self-esteem booster, good-hearted devil's advocate, relationship guru, archaeologist of the soul, and a boss, all rolled up into one, here to give you my perspective on life by guiding, deepening, and challenging your thoughts while influencing you with innovative, insightful information, not forgetting to motivate, provoke, and influence your actions while empowering, educating, and entertaining you. My show will be talking about life, dreams, relationships, love, happiness, health, wealth, fitness, careers, family, and everything else that goes along with all of that. Today, I want to continue our discussion on small money habits to pick up ASAP to prevent financial anxiety. If you're confused about the economy right now, you're in good company. Consumer sentiment is relatively low, consumer debt is high, and stubborn inflation hasn't budged much. Many Americans say they're struggling to afford groceries, and even high-income earners feel they're in survival mode. Workers are clinging to their jobs, fearing they can't afford to lose them, definitely fitting the description of overworked and underpaid. As rising costs reshape everyday spending, kids are hearing about grocery budgets, trade-offs between wants and needs, and why some purchases have to wait now more than ever before. Nearly two-thirds of parents say that money is tight right now, and it's caused them to be more transparent about finances with their kids. More parents say their current financial stress has made them realize how important it is to teach their kids about money, transforming what used to be adult-only topics into daily life lessons. Because nearly every metric economist is determining the strength of the economy as somewhere between concerning and virtually stagnant. Complex data points make it tough for policymakers to know the best course of action to help boost the economy because Trump's administration is becoming the face of the worst economy for middle and low-income Americans. And his decisions as president will affect us for years to come. Which is why parents are pessimistic about the financial future of the next generation and their families. Parents are worried about the persistent inflation, rising debt, and national housing shortage that's shaping our children's economic future. Research predicts 57% of our children will grow up to be financially worse off than their parents for numerous reasons, but one is definitely because the U.S. is experiencing one of the most severe cost of living crisis in decades, and decisions made by the Trump administration has created repercussions that will affect our children's current and future lives. Essential costs such as transportation, housing, and debt payments have remained higher than before the pandemic, putting stressure on young workers, students, and first-time renters, which is basically our babies. So today's parents are officially breaking the money silence they grew up with and say they're more transparent with their kids about money than their own parents were with them. As they try to make up for what they didn't get, they're also advising their kids to spend as they say not as they did. More parents say they are learning more so they can talk to their kids about money, primarily so their children avoid making the same financial mistakes they made. Now parents are on the hunt for ideas and resources to effectively teach their kids about money. This is the first time in 25 years of parenting classes that I now take time to discuss real serious money matters and concerns. My parent groups have been joining online financial communities, listening to more financial podcasts, taking classes, and reading books so they can teach themselves and their children financial literacy with confidence. Today, my parenting groups have accumulated a few questions for Kendra, our financial educator, to help them on a few topics they need more information about. So, Kendra, welcome and hello, Queen. How are you doing?
I am doing awesome. Hello, everyone. I am glad to be here, and I'm hoping that I can enlighten a few people today and give people some encouragement to know that not all hope is lost. There are things we can do to make it work.
Well, Kendra, I got to let you know, you are a huge name in my parenting groups. Trust me, they listen to this podcast. You have taught them tremendously. You are the reason that they are actually turning their eyeballs around and being like, look, I need to, you know, do something different. I need to learn. I need to teach. I need to do. You know what I mean? I need to be the example. So, Queen, you are already up there for us. You are our beacon. And we know that that's why we're coming to you with these questions, because we know you got us.
Thank you. I do. I'm going to do my best to help whomever is listening today.
All right. Well, first I can tell you, my parents are concerned if other parents are really worried about the family finances like they are. Because, you know, we're in a small group. So they're just like, is this, you know, nationwide, or are we just, you know, it feels better, I think, when people feel like more people are experiencing the same thing. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So can you tell us what are the most common issues and challenges you see families experiencing at your job?
So I want everybody to know you are not alone. You know, as a financial professional, I sit with parents, I sit with families every day. And the reality is most people are worried about the family finances. I want to shed a little bit of light on why or what's going on. So, I always look at surveys, and in a recent Federal Reserve survey, Coach Deidre, only 65% of children, 65% of parents with children under 18 who were surveyed. So I don't know who they surveyed. Allegedly, it was 65% of middle American families who were surveyed said they were not doing okay financially. And not living comfortably, right? So that's down 10 percentage points from 2021. What that means is people are struggling. People are nervous. People are unsure. People are uncertain when it comes to their financial future. So some of the concerns that I personally hear the most, people would think that it's about luxury problems. No, I sit with a regular middle American everyday mamas and papas, and they're worried about the same everyday pressures, housing, you know, rent, mortgage payments, property taxes, the high rising cost of insurance, the maintenance and upkeep on the properties, utilities. All of these things, Coach Deidre, are competing for the same paycheck. Whether it be a one income household or a two income household, every bill is competing for the same paycheck. I see a lot of parents concerned about childcare. For a lot of families that I sit with, care costs nearly as much as housing. And that can affect whether both parents remain in the workforce. Is one parent forced to stay home? Food and transportation. You know, and I know inflation really is a thing. The cost of our groceries. In recent months, things are getting a little bit better, but in recent months, gasoline, the cost of gas was through the roof. And on top of that, you've got people with car payments, car repairs, car maintenance, insurance costs have even increased. I've seen the average auto insurance costs increase for a lot of my families that I sit with, including my own car insurance, right? My daughter has auto insurance. We were all on one plan. With my youngest daughter, she lives in San Francisco. I got a rate increase just because of where she lived in San Francisco and the proximity to the school and all these other things. And then there are people thinking about unstable income, layoffs. Layoffs are through the roof in the past year. Companies are reducing hours. People are looking for contract work, just unpredictable everything when it comes to the job market. Then there's healthcare. Premiums are rising. The cost of deductions are rising. Prescriptions are rising. Dental care not being available for people that are on Medicare. It is just a mess. And then finally, let's talk about credit card debt. Credit card debt, variable rate loans, all of those things become painful when interest rates are high. So what I see most is people nervous about competing priorities. Parents are trying to fund the bills, have an emergency fund, still save for college, and save for retirement all at the same time. So I always tell my clients, listen, financial stress is not necessarily evidence that you have failed. You may be stressed out. Take a breath. You have not failed. It really has a lot to do with cost structure, has a lot to do with the economy. But I still encourage every single family to have a plan that is going to separate what they can control. Because there are some things you cannot control, right? We can't control inflation. We can't control taxes. But what we can control is we can control, to the best of our ability, our spending habits. We can control our savings habits. We can control our debt. We can control our insurance. There's no rule that you cannot shop for insurance. We can control our investment behavior. Those are the things that we can control. So if you just focus on what you control and then not allow what you can't control to stress you out, I think you'd be in a much, or parents would be in a much better situation.
Yeah, I'm glad some of those things that you brought up, especially about what you can control, because the biggest problem, again, which we can't control, is that these things are going up, gas, childcare, insurance, but our checks are not. So we have what I'm running into is the parents that at one point in time thought they were making good money, you know what I mean? But now, since the cost of living is so high, they're spending more out of their check, having less money, and some of them even have even had to tap into their savings accounts, you know, because it's just like, hey, I used to make enough, but now, you know, I'm really a little bit short this month, not on the bills, but just on having just a little bit left over in order to do something. You know what I mean? So it is about, you know, and I have to let them know, just like you said, perfect words. You have not failed. It is the system that we are dealing with right now who is against us. We are fighting a system. We are really not, you know, fighting something that we can actually win. We have to wait until we can make some changes in administration and changes in here and there before these things can calm down and we can like breathe again. So I'm so glad that you said that they haven't failed, because many of them, especially since they have been listening to us, I don't know, what, maybe 2 years now, you know, yeah, to the point where they are saying like, hey, you know, again, I changed so much, but now it seems like everything that I did is not working anymore. You know, it's almost like I'm back to where I was before I even started listening to you guys. And now I'm feeling that pressure, that anxiety that comes with not having enough money. And that, I don't think there's anything worse than worried about your money and worried about how you are going to be able to do something that is necessary to get done. So thank you for letting my parents know you haven't failed. But has this current administration affected families' finances differently than the past ones? Because if they have, is it necessary for you to make some adjustments in how you educate and help families? Has that changed?
In my opinion, every administration influences families' finances in some way, right? So you mm-hmm. think about things like, or a combination of things like tax policy, government spending, tariffs, benefit programs? Are they being cut out? Are they being added? Student loan policy. That's a big one that will affect a family's finances. Healthcare rules. What are the rules in this current administration? Immigration policy, just and regulation. So here's what I want families to know. Presidents do not independently control inflation, interest rates, wages, or investment markets. There's Congress, there's the Federal Reserve, things like global events, businesses, and then also consumers. We're consumers. We all play a major role, right? So families, you know, you may experience current policy differently, right? Depending on certain things, depending on your income and your filing status, depending on the number and ages of your children, depending on whether you rent or own, do you itemize your deductions? The state you live in, whatever local tax burdens are happening in your area, in your state, in your county, your occupation, are you exposed to tariffs or federal spending? Whether do you receive tax credits or public benefits? So I can't narrow down what one policy or what one regulation is affecting people the most. However, the biggest adjustment that I would make sure that in this current climate, I am serious about financial education, right? And then I would also make sure that I am using scenario planning instead of political predictions, because I think a lot of times we get caught up in what's the policy, what's happening, how is this affecting me in on a bigger scale. But think about just scenario planning. So what can you ask yourself? You can say, okay, well, what happens if taxes increase? What if certain costs rise? Or, hey, these costs have risen, so what should I do? What do I do if parent B loses a job? What is our plan? What if the markets fail temporarily and I'm putting only into my company's retirement plan? So you want to make sure that you know what's going on now and what could possibly go on later in the worst case scenario in your own household, because your family's plan, it has to be strong enough to survive more than one election cycle. So for me, when I see people who I'm not going to say heavily influenced, but I'm going to say when I see people who are completely burdened and devastated by this current administration, the first thing I think is that you did not have a strong financial foundation, and that's okay. Now's the time to build that. You've got to build your financial foundation so that one administration cannot put you in a situation where you're destitute. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You got to build a strong financial foundation so that no matter who's in office, no matter what public policy looks like, you know that you can pay your bills, you can eat every day, and you can raise a healthy, happy household. And yes, things may be tight because the economy is different. Things may be tight because the cost of living has gone up. But if you start working on focusing again on the things you can control, which is doing your best to build a strong financial foundation, then in my opinion, it won't matter too much for 4 years who's in office.
Well, under normal circumstances, I would, because girl, my phone is blowing up on this one. I would probably roll with you on that one. But I do believe that this particular president has decimated so much that it actually has changed how we look at a whole bunch of stuff. I'm with you. Presidents come, go, stuff fluctuates, stuff goes up, down. We get that. But this man literally has what they call his Trump effect, has literally this war, the tariffs, the huge amount of government layoffs, which even affected some of my families and farmers. All of these are changing because we're in a administration that is getting no pushback. This man is literally just like a kid in a candy store and is allowed to do that. And we've never seen a president that's never just been told, no, you get to do whatever you want. Right. So I think that's how they're looking at it, is like, this is a little bit different because this man came in slashing and crashing and bashing. And that's a little bit different than we've seen any president do, at least since I've been born. So
it is. But let me tell you what parents have to do, because now that we know that that can happen, if we all put ourselves to the best of our ability, if we all sat down and worked on understanding how money works, if we all sat down, and this is hindsight is 2020, okay? Because there are some things that you didn't know you were going to lose your job. You didn't know you were going to walk into a government job on a Monday and the doors were going to be closed. I've even had people in my family who have lost great jobs. I mean, just at Christmas time. How about that? During the holidays, right? Maybe it wasn't Christmas. It was during the holiday season, because not everybody celebrates Christmas. But in December, a time where people are generally celebrating something, okay, losing jobs. So, but hindsight is 2020. And so what I encourage parents and what I encourage people to do now is to focus on understanding money, but to focus on, listen, I have to do what I need to do to build a strong financial foundation. I need to work on having 3 months of my living expenses in an emergency savings fund, and then work my way into 6, and then work my way into 12. And so, yes, this has been a different climate, to say the least. This has been a different administration, to say the least. But I just want parents to know that in spite of all of that, we have to carry on. We have to still do our best to build a strong financial foundation. Because again, that falls into the things we can't control. And so for some of us, even for the family member that I have that lost their job in December during the holidays, the main concern that I had for him was, how many months of living expenses do you have set to the side? Because the reality is, the job market is tough, and you may not find a job that is comparable to the one you just lost. And he did not for quite a few months. And he took on some other work. But the main thing was that he had that additional monies. He had close to a year of his living expenses put away, earning interest, money still working for him so that he could survive the storm. No matter what happens, we got to survive the storm. Mm-hmm. You can't drown.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You've mentioned good financial foundation a couple of times. What's a good financial foundation parents should encourage their children to build?
Well, when it comes to kids, here's my thing with, and I'm talking about, you know, let's say under 16.
Mm-hmm.
Kids need more than definitions. I think people want to teach their kids by telling them, and they need more than definitions. They need habits. They need judgment. Believe it or not, parents, I know we live in a day and age where nobody wants to judge and everybody gets a participation trophy. And no, they need judgment and they need practice. Right. So the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau describes financial knowledge, skills, and habits as building blocks for adult financial well-being. It's the same for kids. So if I had to right now, or I'll just tell you what I did with my own kids. If I had to, I would teach 5 foundational habits. Earn. I feel like a lot of people never teach their kids that the money isn't free. Money in real life represents time, skill, service, or a value that was provided. We just give kids money. And so then we're shocked when they're 22 and they're just laying on the couch mad because you haven't given them any money. You didn't teach them how to earn it. In real life, money represents time. represents the skill, represents the service. And then you have to teach kids how to give, because you earn this money, but generosity will help kids see money as a tool, not as their identity. Teach them how to save. Set something aside before spending every time. They must learn how to pay themselves first. The reason why so many adults have no savings is because they never learned how to save.
Come on.
They never learned how to pay themselves first, right? So they get a check, they buy, and then they attempt to save. No, you got to learn how to save. Spend intentionally. I taught my daughters how to understand the difference between needs, wants, and priorities. When you're a kid, a lot of times what happens is parents give kids money and then let them go buy what they want. Instead of giving them money and then first making them buy some of the things they need.
Come on.
Like, it doesn't hurt for you to buy your own soap, right? It doesn't hurt for you to buy, you know, whatever it is, your own hairbrush or whatever it is. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I think what happens with what kids get accustomed to saving up for that thing, saving up for the PS5, saving up for the dollhouse, saving up for all of those things are great, but those are things that they want. And so then when they grow up and you go, hey, Sally, can you buy some tissue on your way home from work? They go, why do I have to buy tissue? Because mm-hmm. you never taught them that their money should be spread out between their needs, their wants, and their priorities. And then grow. They need to learn how compound interest works. They need to learn about growth. They need to learn about investing. They need to learn about risk. They need to learn about taxes. They need to learn how time and work relate or correlate with each other. So you got to teach kids how to do things like compare prices, how to make them wait before that big impulse purchase. Teach them how to read a bank statement. Just because they don't have a checkbook does not mean they can't log in and read the bank statement. I taught my daughters how to watch every penny. Don't just swipe, swipe, swipe. Go. The bank statement can make an error too. Your bank can have error. So teach them how to build the budget. Teach them how to understand credit and interest. Teach them how to recognize fraud. I had one client who had something coming out of her account, Deidre, for 24 months. It wasn't even her reoccurring bill. But because people don't even pay attention to the bank statement, they can't recognize fraud. They don't know how to protect their passwords. They don't know how to protect their personal data. They just put that phone on top of every machine and the money comes right out of their account. So you have to teach kids how to learn, and they're going to learn from making those small mistakes. But that's good to do while the stakes are low. And if you're going to give your kid $20, don't just let them spend it all. Divide it between spending, saving, giving, and investing. And you decide what the percentages are. I mean, that don't really matter. It's really more so about developing the habits of being good with money as an adult.
Yes, I love all of that. Thank you. That's a sermon right there in itself.
Well, amen.
Okay. Okay, so now we got parents. Now, again, they're, you know, our parents are feeling like they are coming to you with educated questions this time. So they need a little bit more information about the wealth formula. Look at them acting like they got some new words that they can use. So can you explain what that is and how our children should apply it to their lives? I am so proud of them for what they have been doing lately with all of this research.
Yes. And also, I'm proud of the ones that you told me have actually gotten the Saving Your Future book. So for those of you who may or may not know, my company offers a book. It's called Finance 101, Saving Your Future. It really teaches the basic principles of building a financial foundation. So if any of you want a copy, let me know. But let's talk about it. The wealth formula. We do a lot of talking about the wealth formula in that book. So in a nutshell, if you got a pen, I want you to write this down. What is the wealth formula? The wealth formula is this. I'm going to give you the long version and the short version. The wealth formula is your money plus the time it takes you to make that money grow. Okay. Just to make that money plus or minus rate of return. Minus inflation, minus tax is your true wealth. So I'll say it again. Your money plus the time it takes you to make that money grow. How much time do you have for this money to grow? Plus or minus the rate of return, minus inflation, because you always got to account for inflation. That's eating at your money. Minus the tax you have to pay on that money. That is your true wealth. So that is the wealth formula as we sum it up within our organization. And the reality is this, in everyday language, here it is. Earn money, keep a portion of it, put that portion into productive assets that is going to grow, and allow it time to grow. That's it and that's all. And a more complete way to express it for all the people that are like, oh my God, Kendra, what is all that? Listen, your net worth equals your assets minus your liabilities, right? So a lot of time, Coach Deidre, people think that high income creates wealth, and that's not true. A person earning $150,000 and spending $155,000 in a year, they're moving backwards. Don't think that earning more is going to help you. That's not always the truth. Somebody earning less, but consistently saving, let's say you're living on a $40,000 income, but you've managed to save some money. You've managed to pay yourself 10% of that $40,000 income. That's $4,000 that you're investing into you. You've learned to save it. You put it somewhere, investing it, and then you allow it time to grow. Guess what? You're going to do better off than that person who earned 150 and spent 155. So the main thing is learning to save, grow, and then also protect your money and do your best to avoid expensive debt. If you're avoiding debt and you're living below your means, you can still build substantial wealth over time. It's not going to be quick. It's going to happen over time. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. It makes a lot of sense. Even in this example, you kind of gave, or in this explanation, you kind of gave an example of how, some small changes can make big money. Do you have any others, that, you know, parents can start using and be like, hey, even if I do it myself, or if I start having my child do these small changes, other than that sermon that you did in the last one, question, what else can they do?
So for kids, it's just really about building the habit, learning to teach them how to save a part of every dollar. That's what it boils down to for kids. But parents, it really boils down to making sure that you don't just make those small changes in August, because we get all excited. We do a lot. We get excited. We get, it's like, oh, I'm empowered. I'm thrilled. I'm excited. And then when the excitement wears off, then we stop those new habits. So it's really about doing the things, those small changes repeatedly. If you can automate things. So when I sit down with clients and let's say I help them with a financial plan, or I help them with a solution and they're going to start a retirement plan, or they're going to start a new life insurance plan, some of them will go, oh, they got to take it out of my account every month. Or, oh, they got, because you know why? Because they don't want it automated a lot of times, because that forces you to have to do that thing. So automate as much as possible, and then sit back and allow your investments, allow those changes to compound and grow. So just think about it like this. If I'm just putting away, hypothetically, I don't want you going around saying, Kendra said for sure this would happen to me. But no, if you, hypothetically speaking, if all you did was invest $25 a week and you put it in the S&P 500, okay, you put it in a play, you put it in the index account, you put it in the stock market, you get 7% average annual return. Okay, so you're putting up $25 a week, $100 a month, and you're just sitting it there and allowing it to grow. If you allow it the time to grow, 10 years from now, you could have, you know, you put in $13,000, you could have $18,700. 20 years from now, you put in $26,000, you can have $53,300. Now, there's going to be somebody, Coach Deidre, who says, I'm not getting ready to put up money for 20 years, but you've got a one-year-old. And in 20 years, that one-year-old is now a 21-year-old college junior who has $53,300 at his or her disposal. Or you've got a 10-year-old. And 10 years from now, that 10-year-old is 20 years old. And instead of having to wait tables in college, he or she will have money for books, will have some money for a dorm room. Or let's say you are a 30-year-old woman right now and you put money up, you put that $100 a month up for 30 years. You've invested $39,000, but at 60, you've got $122,800 sitting somewhere. So it's really about small changes. And I think for a lot of us, if we really looked at our spending habits, if we really looked at our budget, a lot of us are spending more than $25 a week just on the way to and from work or during the lunch hour. We like Starbucks. We like McDonald's, Egg McMuffins. we like to go to lunch all the time. It's okay to do some of the time, but a lot of us are spending more than $25 a week on extracurricular activities or on our eating habits or whatever the cost, or whatever the thing. And if we just really thought about, hey, I can turn my back, I can automate this $100 a month to work better for me. Better things will happen for you. It doesn't have to be big. Just start with something. Start somewhere.
Good idea. And I've been writing them down. I got my phone is just going off the hook. They're just like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, nice.
And normally, again, I tell my parents, we are live. You know what I mean?
That's
so,
right.
You know, when, at the end of our hour and I get, I look at my phone and I see that I've gotten, 27, 31 text messages. My parents are, they'll say things like, ooh, that was a good point. Now it's the end of the hour. I don't know what point we're talking about. You know what I mean? I don't know what was the good point, but I am training myself to look at my phone a lot more so I can see that they are, they're picking up what you're putting down. Does that make sense?
And that's the main thing. I'm glad y'all listening, paying attention, write it down because it will work for somebody.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So we have been, we haven't talked about inflation. So we got a couple of inflation questions. Can you tell us that we know it's the silent killer? And, I am really trying to encourage our parents. I ain't got nothing wrong with Chat GPT, but it's not my partner and it's not my best friend. You know what I mean? So I can get some information from them, but I also don't want to just give my child and tell them to go there themselves and learn all of this stuff. I'm trying to get our parents back to talking to your children. Can we have conversations? So what kind of conversation should our parents have or discussion when it comes to inflation and how it's affecting their finances?
So here's my thing.
Wait just 1 second. I do want to just put one thing on this one question. This one's a little bit more towards our kids that are kind of like on their own, either they're in college or they at least have their own place, but they really don't understand, what's happening.
Right.
They're just, grinding harder and things are just going over their head. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. And so that's the age group that my kids are pretty much in. I mean, I keep forgetting they're not babies anymore. I think when we first started talking about my kids, at the time, my youngest may have been turning 21. So it was 2021. She just turned 24. Last week before last, she just turned 24. So, but my kids are still kind of there, right?
Mm-hmm,
24 and 26. And what I stopped doing was I stopped talking about how it used to be. We spend a lot of time talking about how it used to be, and we need to just talk about how it is.
Mm-hmm.
First thing first, the same amount of money is no longer going to buy the same basket of goods that we were able to buy back then. So when I talk to my daughters, because they've become adults as inflation happened. like right in their face. For me, when I was going into adulthood, it was a slow build, right? Mm-hmm, for years, rent was affordable. So by the time rent was like crazy insane, I was already a homeowner. Mm-hmm. So I'd already, it was slow for me. For them, it progressed so fast. We're talking about this economy. They were pretty much growing up in this economy, even the last economy. So the last administration and this administration, it really happened fast. Like my daughter lives in San Francisco. Gas went from like $4.59 to $7, mm-hmm. like in the blink of an eye.
Yes, ma'am.
So what I'm talking to them about is I'm having these conversations like, yeah, you're noticing, guys, that the groceries, the gas, all the activities, all the stuff you're doing is costing more than they used to. So that is called inflation. Like we really had that conversation. It does not mean that we are in danger, or that it's your fault. It's not your fault. You may be keeping a little less than your paycheck in your pocket, and you got to start making some thoughtful choices. We got to sit down and I got to help you develop a plan. My daughters are 26 and 24 and I'm constantly reworking their plan with them, having those conversations with them. We compare the current and previous prices of certain things that they buy in the grocery store. I'm like, look, you have to prepare bigger meals. Mom, it's just me. Yes, it's just you. But if you take that big pack of chicken by the family, my 24-year-old, I'm like, buy the family size pack of chicken breasts and take some out and put it in a Ziploc bag and put that in the freezer and then cook, you know, enough that's going to get you three dinners instead of the one dinner. Those, I'm just real world living conversation. I have them budgeting. How much is the cost of a dinner? Right. Don't just go in the grocery store. What my grandma used to call willy nilly. Mm-hmm. He just go in there just blindly, just throwing stuff in the cart. No, plan it out. What are you cooking all week? So literally on Saturdays, I'm having this conversation with my daughters. Sometimes on Fridays, it's like, what you guys cooking this week? One lives in San Francisco. One lives in Georgia. And I'm helping them plan their grocery list. Now they can pretty much do it without me. They just go in the grocery store, but they know how to do it because we had those conversations. We talk about less expensive substitutes on stuff. I have them filling up on gas only one time during the week. You get that gas on Friday and that needs to carry you till the next Friday. If it's not carrying you till the next Friday, you may be driving too much. You can walk, you can catch bus or BART to things. So you have to explain, right? You have to mm-hmm. explain what's happening and just have those real conversations. My daughters and I, we just have conversations. We pull out our budget. We pull out our spreadsheets and we work together to make sure that they are where they need to be. And the reality is one thing they know is that if things get too tight, I have reassured them that I am here to help. Mm-hmm. But I do allow them first to be responsible adults and try to solve whatever the problem is, be it a financial problem or whatever other problem, allow them to try to solve the problem themselves first before I jump in. I'm here to give advice. I give them the same kind of advice I do on this podcast. Sometimes not only them, it's the friends too, Coach Deidre. Mm-hmm. The older daughter started dating and she's mad because the boyfriend calls me more than she does. I'm like filling out this man's health care, his medical paperwork, and he's like calling me to compare prices on insurance, and I'm like, sir, where is your mom? I don't know if your mother would be happy with me giving you all of this advice. And I mean, he's comparison shopping for everything, and somehow I have become the voice of reason and the law when it comes to whatever he's purchasing, whatever he's spending, whatever he's saving, whatever he's investing. And I'm thinking, Lord, I hope this works out because this man is, it would be a hard breakup for he and I.
Well, you know what? I am going to assume that, he is going, he's a good man because he's going where the information is.
That's
and
right.
If he could go to his parents, he probably would, and you wouldn't even know anything about it. You know what I mean? Or if he had been raised like your children, then again, he would probably have some information. So he know he ain't crazy. He
yeah.
was like, and he's going to need to get this information to keep your baby. Okay,
exactly.
Because
exactly.
none of us, I don't think there's a parent that's born that wants their kid, male or female, to have a broke, partner who can't work their finances and can't earn any money. We
That's
ain't trying
right.
to get our kids to marry poor.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So I do my best to help him, and I'm going to tell
helping her.
I'm helping her, and I'm going to tell everybody that's listening, when it comes to your babies, no matter how old they are, I don't care if they're 35. Mm-hmm. The goal is awareness without anxiety. And then participate and help them without burdening them. I tell my kids all the time, I am here to always give you the game.
Yes.
I am here to level the playing board for you and to make sure that you have the ability to avoid some of the same mishaps, mistakes,
with Groupon,
and misfortune that me and dad have had in our younger years. So don't feel like because they're older, you can't keep sharing, and you can't keep making sure that they understand what's happening. Just keep having those regular conversations and help them to treat their money the same way you're treating yours, really.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad, you know, it was we were at a family event yesterday, and we were at the table talking about our kids. And of course, you know, they're in their 30s and, you know, now at this age, but we were still talking about how, just what you're saying, we're still having these conversations with our children. You
That's
know,
right.
we, you know, it doesn't get to the point where we don't want it to get to the point, where you feel like, you can't talk to us about this stuff anymore. You know, like we gave you, you know, a couple of lessons, and now all of a sudden you're just supposed to have it go and, you know, going about your business. No. Let's sit down. I even had one of my cousins was telling me that, she, you know, even they were talking about, you know, is it wise to take a job someplace else? You know, you have to do the ifs and the ands and the, you know, the pros and the cons. And is this, you know, all this other good stuff. And she was like, and it really just came down to, she found out if she took this position, even though it was someplace else, it was still literally going to make her less money.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was a promotion, but unfortunately, it was a promotion in a state that wasn't, you know, you're still making more money here in the lesser position than you would there in a promotion. And you know what I mean? And again, our, you know, she was like, she was just so quick to be ready to go, and she would have found out that, girl, this was not a good move.
Goes That's right.
To sitting down and talking to us so that we all can, you know, two heads are always going to be better than one. And when, especially when you are talking to a head that also has their heart connected to it, because, you know, we love our children and we ain't gonna do nothing but give them good advice.
That's right.
You know
exactly.
I mean? So that's the part that I love about what you're talking about. Like, keep talking. Why would I not? Okay. So we talked about the kids who are actually out there doing something, but can you tell me, how does inflation, if it does, affect our babies who are unemployed and sitting on the couch?
Okay. Well, I mean, the reality is we gotta get them off the couch. We gotta get them off the couch. But let me just say this. When it comes to inflation and unemployment, those two combined can squeeze a family from, you know, from opposite directions. So when it comes to inflation, you know, it makes we talked about that making necessities more expensive. Unemployment, though, is removing income completely, unless they're receiving unemployment benefits. But that is, even if you're receiving unemployment benefits, you're still prevented from your wages keeping pace with inflation, because your unemployment benefit is not going to be what you're accustomed to. So young people, I'm seeing right now, Coach Deidre, young people who are graduating college, who are even more, is more vulnerable, because they've got 4 years worth of tuition they paid. Some of them have student loans. But then just young people in general, if you're 26 and under, you have less work experience. It just is what it is. You probably have a smaller emergency fund. You may have student loans. You may have car payments. You may have fewer professional connections. Then you add on top of that housing costs. I'm seeing a lot of people 35 and under still living at home because they can't afford to rent on entry level wages or on no wages at all. Mm-hmm. But I often tell parents of those children, you know, the relationship is not mechanical. Like, lower inflation does not automatically create jobs. So don't think that my baby doesn't have a job because of inflation, right? Mm-hmm. Inflation can decline at any time, but unemployment can still rise. There are a lot of factors that determine hiring trends, like industry conditions, all that productivity, consumer demand, all of that. So how can you help your you got to get that kid off the couch. You got to get that unemployed teen, by the way. This is another thing I was just talking about with my mom. When I was 15, and I know people are like, oh, here we go, but we worked summer jobs. Remember the summer jobs? There were like summer youth programs. And so this is when we get back to the administration. We talk about some of the things that were cut. Well, when we were youth, there used to be summer jobs that were given like through the school or the career center. They would offer kids, you know, 14 and over could get a work permit and could temporarily work for the summer. Now, young people, teenagers don't even have that option. So they don't have that option as 14, 15, 16 like we did. And so it becomes more comfortable to not work as a young adult child. Mm-hmm. So I tell parents, you got to give them you got to make a written plan with them. You need to make a written plan. They need to know what's really going on. You need to define how much support you can safely provide. I'm talking about 18, 19, if you are 18, you need to work. If you're not going to school, you know, full time, and you may still need to work going to school full time. Parents need to outline to their kids, is this help a gift, a loan? Is it a payment for a specific bill or a specific thing you did? They need to establish expectations around job searching. Help them search. I am not above helping you find a job. I am not above sending you. I will indeed you all day.
That's hilarious.
It may not even be my child. I will take a niece, a nephew, a cousin, a friend, and I'm just sending jobs their way. Like, look at this. Help them. Sometimes people just don't know what they don't know. Put them in training programs. And then if they're absolutely not going to work, you would have so many household responsibilities that you would want to work. Because when I get done with you, you are the yard man. You're the gardener.
Yes,
you're
ma'am.
The sous chef. You are tending to my plants, my indoor plants. You outside and then you got to come inside and do the indoor plants as well. I would have you doing so much that you would want to go out and get a job.
Your own cleaning business.
Or start your own business. And you need to make sure they understand the costs associated with everything. Like, my oldest daughter, I had to sit her down and say, ma'am, you're turning 26 this year. You got to come off this health insurance. To have those conversations about how much health insurance really cost it. You thought it was free all this time? No, ma'am. Your dad's paying for it. So, to me, I think rule number one is trying to get them off the couch, get them from the unemployment line to the I am employed line. And you may have to have a written contract with them. And parents, do not drain your retirement account. Do not take on any extra debt. Don't take out a loan to help them move along. In my opinion, set some rules and some groundwork, and get them up and moving, help them in the direction to move forward, and have a temporary support date. Like, look, I am done on this date supporting you, so that it doesn't become indefinite by accident. I see so many people in their 30s living at home and not contributing. Living at home is fine, but at that point, you should be roommates,
right, and the bill should be split. Right. All right, Queen, we got one more minute before we got to get up out of here. And what kind of advice? Because I think we're just going to have to put this into next month as well, because we still have some unanswered questions. I think by the time you come back, they'll even have some more questions. So I'm liking this, how we're going to be talking to our kids and how we can continue this conversation amongst us. So just real quick, in a minute, can you just, in 60 seconds, can you tell us some advice that you can give parents before we leave for the weekend?
Advice: do not try to solve all your financial problems this weekend. That's the advice, right? Just do one thing. Do one thing. Review the last 30 days of spending. This is the last day of the month. Perfect day to review the last 30 days of your spending without judgment. Start transferring just $5, $10, whatever you can afford, into an emergency savings. Look at your retirement contribution at work. Increase it by just 1%. Do one thing. Go look at all your beneficiaries on your retirement accounts and your life insurance. And then work with me. Come see me. Hop in one of my free financial literacy workshops. We have our workshops Monday through Friday, 3 times a day on Zoom. I will actually be teaching workshop number 2 about building, reducing and eliminating debt and increasing your income. So come and learn how to increase your money and reduce and eliminate your debt. You can find me at info4 Kendra L. Willis at gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook, Kendra Knows Best. 3 words, Kendra Knows Best. You can find me through Coach Deidre. Y'all all know Coach Deidre and how to find her. If you find her, you can find me.
Yes, so, ma'am.
Yeah, so don't try to solve it all this weekend, you guys. Take some time, breathe, and you are okay. You can be okay. You will be okay, and you will get through this.
All right, Queen, I will be seeing you soon. Actually, we'll be talking right afterwards. So hang in there, and I'll be right there.
All right, sounds good.
Bye-bye. Parents are worried about their children's financial futures, as they should be. Their biggest concerns focus on 3 critical issues: the rapid growth of debt, the ongoing housing supply gap that is pushing rents higher, and short-term policymaking that fails to consider longer-term generational equity. The current economy impacts our kids' future education plans, job opportunity, and housing. As a result, our babies may face higher costs for college and a more competitive job market, making financial literacy and early skills training more important than ever. Just as parents teach children essential life skills like communication and problem solving, financial literacy is a critical skill that must be passed down through generations. Many parents, however, struggle with financial education due to a lack of exposure or resources. But now there's no room for excuses. By taking the time to learn how to understand financial markets, resources, and education, families can teach their children the importance of additional sources of income, how to gain financial security, and reduce long-term financial stress. And those are great skills to teach our babies. So, I guess this wraps it up for me today. Thanks for tuning in and listening. We can stay connected on my social media outlets, my Facebook page, If Nothing Changes, Nothing Changes Life Coaching, my Instagram page, at Coach Deidre, and past podcasts can be heard on CoachDeidre.com. So I'll be back with a new show Friday, August 7th at noon on the one and only Interlight Radio. I hope you'll be tuning in again. Until then, I hope you'll be doing more than paying bills and waiting to die. Go live. This is Deidre, your life coach, reminding you, if you want to make a change in your life, do it, because if nothing changes, nothing changes.